LNB's audio diary for the 7th of May 2023. It is a Sunday and it's just about 2:30 in the afternoon. I'm on my way to pick up Mrs. Bronx from her job. It's a bright sunny day today, not too hot, not too cool, just right actually, but it is quite windy. The morning it was dead still, but I knew it would be windy by afternoon, and indeed, I was right. Let's see, I volunteered at the shelter today, and kind of got my ass kicked. Yeah, I kind of did. I did the rabbits, and a volunteer came in to do the cats, but she couldn't stay to do them all. The rabbits were out of litter pellets, so I ran to the feed store to pick up some bedding pellets to go into their tray. And then I finished the cats when I got back, right? Now, there are these two cats. They're not quite adults, but they're bigger than kittens. They're kind of, you know, teenager type things. And they're really, really rambunctious, really, really crazy. They're almost semi-feral. Not quite feral, but they don't like to be picked up. Well, I wasn't fully aware of their personality because I just generally tended to avoid them if I could when I was working. But I thought, why don't I make life a little bit easier on me and give them a day out, or an hour or two out, by putting them, there's a little room off to the side that if you're gonna adopt a cat, you can go in there with the cat, shut the door, and then let the cat romp around. There's toys and stuff in there. And you can see how well you get on with the cat and what their personality's like. And, you know, it comes in handy quite a bit. So sometimes when we're doing a cage, we'll put the cats in there, a cat, or a couple of cats if they share a cage, in there to hang out while you're doing the cage. And again, you know, it gives them a chance to be out of the cage and a romp around, and you're not dealing with them while you're doing the cage. These cats don't like to be out of their cage. So I grabbed one to put him in there, and I don't think I was rough, but he doesn't know me regarding picking him up and carrying him around, because I never do that. So he doesn't want to get out of the cage. He's grabbing at everything. And he kind of cuts me up a little bit, but not bad. Nothing terrible. I put him in the room. Okay, fine. I go to get the other one, somehow thinking he's going to be different. He was worse. And this guy raked me up. Raked me up. To compound that, the door to this cat room has got this weird little lock on it. It's one of those, and I don't know why the hell they make these damn things, but it's one of those, it's almost like a closet door handle on this thing. The door itself is a real door, but the handle is one of those that it's got like a lever handle, but it's got that slot in the handle that if you turn it with almost anything, could be a coin or a spoon or a screwdriver, anything, that will lock it, right? You don't need a key, it's just this little slot that you turn. Well, a lot of times this thing will, just jostling it around, opening it and closing it, it turns that thing, right? And that's what happened this time, right? So I got this bundle of razors in my hand that are flying around. I go to open the door, I can't get the door open. I'm now cut up, so I gotta get this thing back to its cage. I walk it back to its cage, it's slicing me to hell and back. I finally get it back in its cage. When I pulled it out of its cage, it dragged everything out. It grabbed the, we put down cushions and stuff inside, and it grabbed that. Water came out, its food came out, everything came out, right? It's like, oh, mess everywhere, and I'm cut to ribbons, right? Well, my hands are such, I have very veiny hands, right? You can see my veins and arteries and everything really, really clearly. They're very close to the surface on my hand. You can see where this is going, I'm sure. Yes, this thing sliced me up. It's just a scratch. It is, it's just a scratch. But it went through the skin and nicked a vein, right? So my hand swells up right? It doesn't bleed all over the place. I did get some blood out outside of it, but it like sealed up again, and the blood was leaking on the inside under the skin. Now, you may see this sometimes if you go to the hospital or a doctor, and they go to give you an IV, and they kind of miss the vein. They call it blowing the vein. It generally means that they came in with the needle and didn't quite get it spot on. They kind of went at it crooked, and messing around with it, when they go to put the IV fluid through, it like will squirt out the side, right? And they call that blowing a vein. And it, you know, phlebotomists and, you know, IVs and stuff like that, they don't like that, right? They don't want to do that. That's not the best way to deliver the medication, whatever it happens to be. Well, in other words, I've seen it before, right? So that's what this essentially was, the same thing as. It blew the vein, right? Just a scratch, and the vein will be fine, right? The vein will be fine. And especially since I'm not bleeding out all over the place, it was no big deal. But my hand swelled up right there in that spot. Looked like I'd gotten an IV that someone didn't do very well. And I had to put on, you know, I scrubbed myself down because it is a cat, right? So you never know. But I scrubbed myself down really well. I cleaned it out, ran it under the water for a long time, and then put on antibiotic ointment. And, you know, I took care of it. But now my hand is still swollen there, not as bad as it was, and I'll have a nice bruise. And that's that was grand. And I do all that, and then it's like, well, I still gotta get that other cat back into this thing, right? But I'm like, while they are separated, at the very least, I can close them off. And I don't know why I didn't want to do it. Oh, I wanted to do something nice for them. That's why I did that, right? Try to do something nice. I don't know. But anyway, they have these circular discs that kind of screw into the hat. The way their cage is set up, because there's two of them, and right now they had the space for them, they gave them, basically, it's two cages with this circular disc that you could put in this opening between them, right? And if you leave it open, then they have both sides, and, you know, they have a lot of space to romp around in. If you close it off, then you have two cages, and you may need it sometimes, right? So I closed that off. I got the guy, the one that was still there, over to one side, closed him in, cleaned up one side of it. Then I chased him over to the other side. You know, I took the disc out, chased him over to the other side of the cage, closed it up, cleaned that side of it. Then I opened it up, took the disc out, went and got the other cat. And the other cat is now in that room, and there's like a little desk that's there. And he's under the desk, way hidden in the back corner, right? He's scared to death, right? I'm like, oh, crap, all right. So he'd already gotten his wet food, but I thought, well, what the hell, it's a special occasion. I opened up a can of wet food. I gave him half of it and the other one the other half, right? Because they didn't do it out of malice. They didn't rake me out of malice. They're just scared. So I put a little bit of that food out to see if he'd come out, and he didn't. So I scooted a little bit closer, and he finally tasted it and sniffed it and everything, and finally knew I wasn't a threat. So then he came out, and I picked him up, and I brought him back to his cage, no problem, right? And I got his food, and I even gave it to him then, right? So they had plenty of extra wet food to munch on and calm their nerves, and got the cage done. But my God, I only had three cages to do, and that probably took half hour, 45 minutes right there, just dicking around with these wild-ass cats and, you know, cleaning my own cuts and everything up, and my arms, you know, the other arm got all raked up too, but not, you know, and that put blood on my pants, and, I don't know, dropped my glasses, those broke, but they were going anyway. And again, I don't use prescription glasses. These are just reading glasses. But, you know, I carry them because I need them to read, right? So I didn't have those. I had to get another pair when I got home. Oh man, what a morning. Crazy, crazy. Boy. So, yeah. And Mrs. Bronx goes through this every day, this sort of stuff, right? If it's not cats, it's dogs. Difference between us, first off, she's getting paid. Secondly, she loves this line of work, and I don't. I don't. But I did my job. I cleaned everything, made it nice, made sure everybody was okay. And that kind of satisfaction can be nice, to know that I'm helping, right? You know, I'm helping the workers, the people there, the employees of the place, but I'm also helping the animals. I'm leaving the place better than when I found it that morning, you know? I've had so many stupid jobs in my life, so many stupid jobs, right? Garbage jobs. And I can honestly say, I never had a single job that mattered, right? That I was doing anything that mattered. Retail jobs, warehouse jobs, restaurant jobs, all this crap that none of it mattered, right? None of it is making the world a better place. But this matters, right? You know, the animals are better off when I leave. You know, when I'm done, everything is better, you know, in that room. I'll take some scratches. I'll take some bumps and bruises and all the rest. I mean, it's... I'm not getting paid, and I don't really love the work, but it's more satisfying than any work I've ever done, you know, job-wise. You know, my writing and stuff and all of that, I gain a lot of satisfaction from that, too, as you can imagine. But I'm talking about non-creative stuff. It's far more satisfying to know that I'm helping, you know. As wild as those cats are, when I was done, they had a clean space. They had food, they had clean water, you know. It was comfortable, like clean cat boxes, you know. It was better, they were better off than when I got in there in the morning, you know. So... it's difficult to really express my feelings because, of course, as I say, I'm kind of ambivalent to the animals on an emotional level, but I'm very happy that they're better off. You know, it makes me feel better that they're better off. So it's kind of a strange thing. But today there was some drama with one of the other employees that kind of, I think, parsed it for me, that at least in my mind, illustrated how I'm feeling and why I feel the way I feel about this. This one lady that Mrs. Bronx works with, she also fosters animals, and about, what is this, today is Sunday, so it was last week, 4 kittens came in, little kittens. And she took them home to foster them, right? Because they're small enough. I think they're like bottle babies. They needed care. So she took those 4 home to foster them until they were bigger, and then she'd bring them back where they could be adopted. But one of them was a runt, apparently, like half the size of the others. And we know that runts, at least in the wild, the runts tend to die. That's nature, right? So we're about to walk out the door this morning, and Mrs. Bronx gets a call from this lady sobbing on the phone, right? Sobbing, because this is this woman's MO, right? Because the runt is having trouble breathing. It's what they call agonal breathing. And she doesn't know what to do. She's thinking, you know, please help. Well, Mrs. Bronx, of course, is not just a kennel person. She's a veterinary technician. And when they have clinic days, she's in there with the doctor. Well, she hears what's happening, and she's like, well, there's not a lot we can do. If it's at this point where it's agonal breathing, it may be dead by the time you get into the to the clinic. But yeah, I'll meet you there. We'll go immediately. So we left, we left immediately after the call. And by the time we got there, sure enough, this thing has died on the way to the clinic. It's very sad, but it's also completely natural. It happens literally every single day. You know, this is the way nature designed this sort of thing to happen. We would prefer that it wasn't that way, right? But that's how it is, right? And you would think someone who is in this business, or I should say, who does this for a living, that's really what I should say, would know that, right? But this woman, this wrecked her whole day. This will wreck her for days. For days, right? Whenever an animal, because she falls in love with all of them, and then if they're sick, or something's wrong with them, and they may not make it, she falls to pieces. I mean, she just breaks down and just sobs and sobs and just can't handle it and is an emotional wreck for days, right? Well, you can imagine how delightful that is to work with, right? And it occurred to me today, you know, because I've been trying to put it into words, but it occurred to me today, and this is a woman who has a long-term goal of becoming an animal rescuer herself, to have a facility of her own, not here, but further out towards Springerville and all these, you know, that area. That would be to the east of where we are, closer to the New Mexico border, right? She's got this wild thing that she wants to run an animal rescue, right? Well, this is part of that, right? This sort of experience comes hand in hand with having a number of animals that you're responsible for, right? And it occurred to me that this is a person, and I've met many, many people like this, not just with regards to animals, but in general, in life. This is a person who has confused sentiment for compassion, right? Because they love the thing, they think they're capable of handling what's required to take care of them. But sentiment is about yourself, right? It's about how you feel, right? Compassion is about the other person, or in this case, the animals, you know, the other animals. How I feel doesn't really matter, and I have to get on with my day to take care of them. But for her, it's all about her, right? So to me, you know, sentiment is, at least in this context, not if you're being sentimental about the past or something like that, but in this context, sentiment is a selfish emotion. It puts yourself, you know, right in the center of all of the drama. It makes you the most important thing, and how you feel the most important thing, right? As opposed to compassion, which puts the animals center. And it means that they're... I'm way early, and I wanted to run to the store. I don't have time to get over there, though. Maybe I'll run to the dollar store down the street. Maybe I'll do that. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, that's her problem. She has, you know, deep feelings for these animals. And I think your number one feeling for these animals should be responsibility. Not sentiment, not this deep abiding love, but taking care of them. It doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter that I got raked up and I have a, you know, bubble of blood under my skin. That's immaterial. That doesn't matter, right? Because the animals don't know about that, and they'll never be able to understand it. So how I feel doesn't matter, you know? And if I get upset, if I get sad because one of them is dying and I can't help it, again, that doesn't matter, right? it doesn't matter how I feel about taking care of them until it crosses that point where it's interfering with the care I give, right? Now, I'm not a caregiver per se. I'm just a volunteer. I just clean, right? But taken as a whole, and again, this applies to far more than just volunteering at an animal clinic. This is about, this is all about, I think, the way we express caring in the world, right? That you need to pull yourself out of it, right? You need to not be the center of the experience. You have to pull yourself away so that the only emotion that you have left is a desire to help. And if you can do that, then you can do it for a long time and see some really sad things, right? It does take a toll. You know, it's impossible not to get your emotions wrapped up in this sort of stuff. It does take a toll to be doing this all your life. You know, I see it in Mrs. Bronx. And yet, she'll have her bad day. She'll come home. She'll feel bad about it. And then she'll get on. She'll get on with it. She'll get up the next day and go again and do it again. Because she has her priorities straight. You know, she does love the animals, but that's not front and center. You know, that it isn't about her, it's about them. And not everyone sees that. Anyway, I'm at the dollar store, so I'm just going to go in there and see if I can find a couple of things that are on my list. And otherwise, I'll go. So, yeah, I guess that's it for today, because I'm not home.